This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and welcome to this weekly podcast. If you're new to the podcast, I encourage you to subscribe and to get the updates once a week. I release these on YouTube and also on your favorite podcast platform. I hope that is the Hail Mary Media app. But any podcast platform you listen to different podcasts, you can find Faith Moments with Dina Marie. And every week we go and dive a little bit deeper into the Sunday readings. I hope that you're able to listen to this before you hit Sunday Mass or the Saturday Vigil. I usually release this in the middle of the week prior to the Sunday that we're celebrating. So this gives you an opportunity to listen to the Word and also to reflect and maybe give you a couple of things to think about as you prepare for receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. We are on the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, August 24th. We are rapidly moving through August. I don't know where the month has gone, but it's a beautiful time in the summer season to continue to share our faith. We've had an opportunity to come together as a family for a family reunion, and maybe that's something that you do in your family for the summertime. And so this is my husband's side of the family. So lots of cousins, lots of relatives, many of which I've kind of lost track of because the generations are now into kind of like great-grandchildren. And so it's a lot of fun to come together, but also it's an opportunity to witness. And even in a very simple way of praying before meals, of being able to talk a little bit about your faith, not in a proselytizing way, obviously, but in a way of sharing your love. And we're going to talk about that today. The theme, the thread I want to pull through these readings for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time is light the way, light the way. So let's begin with the collect prayer, which is prayed as we begin the Holy Mass. Let us pray. O God, who caused the minds of the faithful to unite in a single purpose, grant your people to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that amid the uncertainties of this world, our hearts may be fixed on that place where true gladness is found. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And I just want to point a couple of lines out in this prayer that I highlighted. We're asking God to unite us in a single purpose. So think about just all of the people in the church building that you're coming together and celebrating. And then think for a moment that in every Catholic church, small or large, cathedral or mission, in a little village, in a little hovel somewhere, in a big fancy basilica, we're all coming together for a single purpose. And we're asking for God to unite us in this purpose. We might be caught in just the smallness because we have this wonderful small church community, which we have in Kelso, Washington. Beautiful, loving, hospitable, friendly. And yet that's only so many people. And I think about the whole world that we're gathering in the presence of God to worship God. And He causes our minds,
our soul that is part of our conscience, how we make good, right decisions to come together and unite in a single purpose. Powerful. And we're asking to be granted the desire of what he promises, the desire of your promise, of what you promise. What does God promise? Salvation and eternal life. That amid uncertainties in the world, we all face that, our hearts may be affixed on that place where true gladness is found. And where is true gladness? Where is true joy? Where is true freedom? Where is true peace? In the heart of Jesus, in the presence of God, in eternal life, which is beyond this world. Beautiful collect prayer. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them I will send fugitives to the nations, to Tarshish, Put and Lud, Mosok, Tubal and Jarvan, to the distant coastlands that have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels, some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause, not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So, strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last, who will be first, and some are first, who will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I mentioned the words light the way, and such powerful readings. And there's so much to gain. I want to go back to the prophet Isaiah in the version that we have here. It starts with this sentence, "Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts." And it goes on. And if we just stop there and ponder in your mind and in your heart that God knows you. God made you. Why did God make you? How did God make you? God made us all, humankind, out of love. To love, for love, to love him, to worship him in this life and in the next, to bring people to that love, to bring people to recognize that love. God knows our works, how we live our lives, what we do with our time, what we do with our talents, how we spend our treasures. God knows that. You're not going to hide that from him. And God knows our thoughts. We have a body and we have a soul. We have a soul that is eternal. Our bodies are not eternal. Our bodies will decay at some time in our lives, for some people sooner than others. But in the end, we're all going to die. But our souls are still alive, says the Lord. And that soul is that part of our existence that allows our mind to have a way of thinking, a way of making choices, a way of choosing, having a will, having a freedom to choose to do right or to do wrong, to do what I want to do regardless of the consequences, or to begin to understand the consequences of my actions, because my actions are not by themselves. My actions affect others. They affect me. They affect others. They can affect and do affect the whole world. And we may think, oh, this is something that nobody sees, something I read, something I do behind closed doors, but I know their works and their thoughts. Something to think about as we ponder who we are and whose we are. And so part of this is the last chapter, the 66th chapter of Isaiah. So this is the end of the book. And we get this foreshadowing, this what comes to fruition is Jesus's birth, right? The birth of the Messiah. He's born in poverty. He's born in obscurity. Nobody knows. He's not born as a king where everybody's waiting for the king to have this new child. He's born of a virgin. He's born amidst a holy family, in a stable, amongst animals. And who comes to see the king? The lowly, the shepherds, their wise men who are maybe pagans, having different kinds of cultural beliefs and backgrounds, and yet they're drawn to the truth. And they come and find this baby swaddled in a manger, and they come on dromedaries or camels. You know, we see this foreshadowing, looking to the coming of the Messiah in these words of Isaiah as well. And it says here that all nations will come. So this means not just the Jewish people are going to come to encounter the Messiah, the Lord. It will be from all backgrounds, all ways of life, all humanity will come to, and here it says, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain. That's why for those of you watching the video, this is part of Jerusalem, my holy mountain. says the Lord. We hear in the psalm today, this is Psalm 117, our mandate as baptized Christians. This is our mandate. Go to all the world and tell the good news. And this is what the apostles did at the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. They received that final seal, the seal of the Holy Spirit, which gave them the courage, which gave them the counsel, which gave them the various gifts that they would need. It's like this, you're going through an apprentice program, and then when you graduate, you get all of the tools. You might be using your master's tools, who's teaching you how to do welding, how to do engineering, how to build this and build that. And you might be using the tools of somebody else. And then you graduate, you get your own set of tools. The Holy Spirit, these gifts, which now are meant not just to carry in a belt, but to be pulled out and used for fruit, to bring, to light the way, to light others to those gifts. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. That's our mandate. That's the invitation that Jesus asks, to follow him to Jerusalem. The fidelity of the Lord endures forever. There's the promise. I'm always going to be with you. Don't worry. Don't worry along the way. I am here. I love you. It may seem like you're in a difficult trial. We're going to hear that in this next reading. It's so beautiful. Keep going. Keep going. Follow the light. If you're in this difficult moment, or you light the way, Peter, you light the way, Paul, you go, Thomas, go, Mary Magdalene, go, Martha, go, Mary, go light the way, light the torch for others to see the light. Here's the letter to the Hebrews. You might hear this and go, I don't like this reading. And yet, if you've done anything difficult, whether you're studying a particular science or art, whether you're an athlete, right now we have a grandson who's getting back into football. I mean, he's 10. They are like serious, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. They're in practice. They're wearing their padding. They're wearing all their uniform. And they're working hard for the jamboree, for the games. And then there's the Olympic athletes that do their training. Or maybe you just want, like what we're doing right now, is trying to do some training to walk, to be able to do some nice hikes at the Grand Canyon. You know, whatever that training is, there is some difficulty in that. You're get sore muscles. You maybe change your diet. You maybe start to let go of certain things, change your habits to get a better outcome. So this says, and there's a little bit of a, you guys have kind of fallen off the wagon. And so whoever's writing this letter to the Hebrews, they're trying to kind of encourage the Christians to keep going, to get back on track. Do not disdain the discipline of the Lord. Endure your trials as discipline. Because God loves you. He's going to discipline you. Every parent wants their child to grow up knowing what's right and wrong. Yes, to protect them from harm. And sometimes protecting them from harm means to put around a boundary. Don't touch the hot stove. And there's discipline that we have to endure to know right from wrong. Laws discipline us. There's a stop sign. There's a yield sign. There's a caution sign. There's a detour sign to protect us from danger, to redirect us to safety. God does the same thing, but he's protecting our soul that's eternal. He doesn't want that soul to be stained with sin. He's helping us to purify, to be purified, and that's through various trials. All discipline seems at the time as a cause for pain, not for joy. Nobody likes to be corrected. You may be in a job and your boss, your mentor, even your coworker is saying, you know, you didn't do that right. You need to redo that paper. You need to rework those numbers because you didn't follow the formula that we're doing. You didn't follow, for me, the punctuation and the grammar properly. Oh, I don't like that. But the correction is helping us to do it right. And to be more humble, to receive the correction, then go, okay, this is to help me to be better, to be able to have a better product to produce, to share, to offer, that it's correct. I don't want to have something incorrect that might lead somebody also into that incorrectness. Because it says that in that trial, in that training, in that discipline, this is beautiful. You're going to receive fruit. It's not going to happen today. We've planted apple and pear trees in the backyard. It's taken a while for us to produce some fruit. And now we're reaping some of that fruit. But for a while, we're like wondering, are we going to get anything off these trees? But there's fruit of peace, of joy. And at the end, it says healing. At the bottom line, we need healing. People need to be healed of the wounds that they have received. From even in the womb, we receive wounds of humanity, of the imperfections, whether your mother drank alcohol or took drugs or was in an abusive situation and that affected you as a child in the womb. You grew up in domestic violence. You grew up in a difficult home. You grew up in poverty. Whatever that is, we've got wounds. And the good news is those wounds can be healed through the love of Jesus Christ. Make straight paths for your feet, for that what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. Such an encouragement to receive that discipline, that love, that grace that comes with a relationship of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's get into the gospel. This is the gospel according to Luke. And listen here, I had to kind of reread this a couple of times, that Jesus is passing through towns and villages, and he's going to Jerusalem. You know, everything leads to Jerusalem. Jesus's path will go through suffering and ultimately the passion and death. What is Jesus continuing to remind the apostles about as they're walking the way? And Simon Peter has even said, no, you can't die. You can't be crucified. You can't be treated this way. You're the king. But Jesus is saying, it's this road that I must walk because it's the road of God's will. This is how you as humanity can be caught up in eternity, which is divinity. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own efforts, your own merits, your own good works. You can't do it alone. You must have me. Divinity and humanity is the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. Light from light, true God from true God. So Jesus is telling the people to strive to enter the narrow gate because they're wondering, is everybody going to be saved? Their idea of salvation is still infantile, is still baby. Jesus knows the whole picture. And oh, how I wish the earth was already burning on fire. Remember, we heard that last week. I want everybody right now to be penetrated with this holy love, with this burning fire, with this Holy Spirit, with this passion. And he's making his way to Jerusalem to be crucified willingly on the cross, that his passion would flow over so all of us would have access to salvation. But he warns us that many will not be strong enough. Many will presume, hey, I go to church. I know about Jesus. I'm a good person, even. I should be able to be let into the door. And he says this twice. And this is what leads me to the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah when we heard these words, I know their works and their thoughts. So after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, here's the judgment. Then you will stand out, or will you stand out, knocking, you're outside of the door, and say, Lord, open the door for us. Let me in to the gates of heaven. Knocking on the door. And Jesus says, or the Lord says, the master says, I do not know where you are from. I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart. And they say, well, you know, you were teaching in our streets. We ate with you. We were in your presence. You never started a relationship with me. You never opened your heart to me. You didn't open the door of your life to me. You didn't turn over your heart to me. You rejected me. And the people will come from east and west, the north and the south. They'll come from all over, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, you and I. Everybody has the opportunity. The shepherds, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the murderers, the sinners. Raise my hand. I'm a sinner. Those will be the ones who will be invited into the kingdom of God. That's the good news. Jesus opens the door for sinners. We all have been stained by original sin. We all have the hope of coming into a relationship, an eternal relationship with God the Father. Let us have him say to us, I know who you are. I know your thoughts and your words. I know your works and your thoughts because they are of me, because you've been journeying with me through the suffering, through the trials. You've endured it. You've endured the discipline, and you continue to turn to me. You continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Help one another to be a light along the way. We're encouraged, those of us who have received full initiation, baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, to now light the way of others so they can have that same joy, that same peace, that same healing. Let us pray. God, light of life, you sent us your Son to show us the way to you. Let us walk by his light and follow your word, that we may one day dwell with you forever in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.